Hey everyone, how's it going everyone?
Hey Val.
Today, hey Angela, okay we're going to have a little bit of a up and down, no music, thank you. Oh hi friends, Angela, today Angela and I are going to have a wonderful discussion with guest speaker Bob O'Connor about our topic, the human evolutionary process in the 21st century. And some of the areas that we're going to be connecting with is peace, community, and connection. Angela, how's it going, girl?
It's going good. It's beautiful out here today. So we've had a couple of overcast days. So it's nice to look out the window and see some sunshine.
Well, I got ditto going here. So we'll have to see how Bob's part of the world is. But before we bring him on, I just want to share with our listening friends some of these accolades. And what's interesting is, in preparation for this, I learned stuff new about Bob, and I've known him close to 10 years. So I think I'm going to start doing that, like for all my friends, kind of refresh my connection with him because it's fun to learn new things about our friends. Okay, and here's a little bit about Bob. He was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and then he moved to Augusta, Maine at the age of 5. He was the only child for several years, and then he went on to become the oldest child of 12 children. And he has an interesting twist around even more children in his family, but we'll just kind of leave it to his biological siblings. But there were 12 in his family. At the age of 2, he stuck forceps in an electrical outlet, which I'm sure was pretty snazzy there, and with those sparks of darkness and great joy, which has led to his having a scientific bend, and we'll hear more about those that bend a little later. Now, here are some of the roles and hats activities he's worn and experienced along his journey. He entered some really cool ideas on local science fairs. One had to do with a computer, and he may be able to have time to share that with us today. He was behind the camera with his family making a few 8 and 16 millimeter movies. He had his hand in shortwave radio, computer, physics, x-ray, nuclear medicine, radiation therapy, construction, carpentry, plumbing, and electrician. Talk about a jack of all trades.
Wow.
That's a wide spectrum. He even was a guest dairy farmer for several weeks with some friends, and he shared when we were going over this interview that, you know, not many dairy farmers get vacations. So that was, I'm sure that person really appreciated him stepping in there for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
After he graduated from Coney High School, he went on to attend Duke University, graduating with a Bachelor of Science in Health. He was also presented with a Physician's Assistant Certificate in 73. He practiced as a PA in Iowa and West Virginia for several years, and then he moved back to Maine in 87, which he's currently residing in China, Maine now. And remember Katharine Hepburn? She had that kind of Maine intonation. Bob has a little bit of that, and I've always kind of played around with that with Bob because I love intonation. So when he comes on, you'll hear it. During his time in West Virginia, he was organizing medical conferences. He published several medical proceedings and also had written some medical software. Now, fast forward to the 90s, all of these activities and roles opened up bigger doors in technology towards him becoming a designer and a webmaster for several online communities beginning in 1999. You know, one of the things I love about him is he also, and part of our connection with our show, he believes and practices the universal laws of attraction and manifestation. And one of the hats he currently wears is the Chief Amazement Wizard at Powerful Intentions Community. This community is an online social entrepreneurial one that was co-developed by Bob in 2004, and it was also co-developed and attracted through practicing teachings with Abraham Hicks. That was one of the main versions in the original version of The Secret. The teachings were basically connected with them, and then it was a little edited out and changed. But he does believe it and does practice this and has really inspired. It's one of the things that we together have had a lot of experiences around. But between the years of 2004 and 2008, PI grew to become a community of over 200,000 members. And then in 2008, the community moved to the Ning site, where it currently resides. You know, not only has Bob been a most endearing, gracious, very insightful, smart friend and colleague of mine for close to 10 years, what I love is his ability to put scientific, medical, and technological, blah, that word, information in layman terms. See, it's like technology. I'm right brain, he's left brain. In layman's terms, for those of us who have a tendency to live more on the right side of our brain. And I love that. And during the years between 2004 and 2008, I helped co-found the site with Bob and several others. And the experiences that we had there were just so much fun. They're still fun. We are doing our own thing, this blog talk being one. But they were magical. They expanded us. They were very joyful in spite of all the stretching and growing that took place. And, in fact, Angela and I met at PI, so that was another blessing in disguise that even when it went to Ning, that she found it, which is a great, powerful intention story as well. But today, we're going to be discussing peace, community, and connection, how these resources and tools come in to conjunction with the Internet, and how the Internet helps in raising our vibrations towards experiencing a more holistic evolutionary process as both a spiritual and human entity in the 21st century. Now, you can read more about Bob. He is giving his site a facelift. You can read more about him at http://mainbob.com, MAINEBob.com. And once he will be sharing some of those. Yeah, and Angela, you're going to put that in the chat room, yes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome, awesome. And so he's going to be sharing some more articles and things like there on that site in the coming months. And without further ado, we want to welcome Bob aboard. Bob, are you there?
I am here. What a wonderful introduction! Thank you very much, Val. That was just awesome. I'm gonna have you write my biography. You know, you can be the ghostwriter. You did so well.
Well, you know, I love you to pieces, and I've worked with you and been friends with you for a long time. And I have to tell you, it is a great ride still. And I appreciate that. I mean, I just love the fact that we worked really well together and that we're still evolving and growing together. So that's just a great testimony to the power of intention and how well it works in bringing great friends like you in our lives. So thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, hey, Bob.
And I should also say hello to Angela. Oh, that's you. Hi.
Thank you so much for being on with us.
Yes.
Say that again.
Thank you for coming on with us today.
Well, you're welcome.
So, Bob, how's China Main doing today? How's things going there?
Yeah, I'm right here on China Lake, and it's kind of an overcast day. I was expecting more sun for the weekend, but it's always changing. And, you know, one of my favorite things, of course, is the loons that we see out here on China Lake. I've actually been counting loons on this lake for 20 years for the Audubon Society. They're one of my favorite birds. If you went to the site and clicked on the bio link, there's a little YouTube that at the end has a picture of China Lake along with the sound of the loons, just to remind you of perhaps that old movie on Golden Ponds. Do you remember that?
Oh.
This is one of those kind of lakes.
And I loved On Golden Pond. It was a very interesting movie and very intricate in human relationships. So it was a great movie to watch. Another one that we ought to do a movie review on,
yeah,
Angela.
I'm writing it down.
Talk about generational conflicts. It was cool. But, Bob, thanks for bringing up that loon thing because that is one of your favorites. And I was just thinking of that, so you, like, pulled the words right out of my mouth, right out of my head. This subject, because that is one of your favorite birds, and it's some of the things that we know about Bob when it comes springtime is his connection with the loons. And Bob, you want to put pictures of your backyard, like on your main Bob site?
Yes, actually, the picture of it you see on that site is the lake behind me and the sun setting. It's really nice. I get to see the sunset. You know, if it's not overcast, there's always changes. I mean, that's the one thing that's wonderful about nature. It never stays the same.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. So, you know, the getting back to our topic today, because, you know, we're going to kind of mix the science and technology and connection and human being and inspiration and spirit all together. What makes today's topic about human evolutionary process in the 21st century most important for you, Bob?
Well, part of it is there are not just the internal changes, and of course we grow and change all through our lives, but I think lately we've had significant cultural changes. I mean, the issues with the money and the stock market and all of those factors are, you know, really affecting the world, and that makes it more, you know, more important to kind of evaluate, well, you know, is there a place to, is it a time to make some changes? And I would say, yes, it is. So, and part of that for me, one of the things I'm excited about starting next week is doing a course in permaculture and what's called earth activist training. And part of that is my more connection to the local community. I've done a lot of stuff with the online communities, which are great to get like-minded people together. And this is kind of doing this locally and having the experiential and connection with making stuff. I think there's more of a trend now towards local. We can go on and on about that. But I'm excited about the this training that also has the activist component in it, which is important to help make that change, to be the change we want to see in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that, like that quote, to be the change, in, like Mahatma Gandhi says, be the change that you want to see in the world. You do bring up a good point about community online and offline. Does the internet have a connection with this? How did you learn about this earth activist community?
Well, I must say in this case, it was not the internet. This was kind of my local connections. It does tie into what you and I had done with Powerful Intentions Community, which was community based on the law of attraction and the work of Abraham Hicks. I met someone locally here, a local farmer, who had on her own been having little group potluck gatherings about once a month, based on Abraham Hicks and the Law of Attraction. So it was kind of almost separate than what I had. It was another thing happening, but it was happening local. And it was through that group that I found out about the Earth Activist Training in permaculture. Some people think, you know, permaculture might be thought of as a real simple, related to agriculture and making an environment or trying to preserve the environment to be as much as close to nature as you can have it and still have those, have it sustainable. I guess that's the buzzword for it. But it's gone beyond that to make sustainable communities. And what we can do locally, how many ways can we diverge with this? I think one of them, for instance, with the food, locally grown food is just where we're going to need to go. To me, it doesn't make sense to buy organic food that comes from South America, because is it organic if you've put all that fuel into whatever those transportation methods are to get the food to you? Doing it locally is going to be more important. It'll be less expensive, and it'll also, foster that local gardening and farming that I think is going to be much more important to us going forward.
Thank you. Now, are you going to be blogging about your earth activist activities on your main Bob site?
Yes, and in addition, I hope to do some. One of my other areas is video, so I hope to put up some YouTube clips from the actual event that may become part of supporting the Earth Activist Training site. So that's I'll be there with my camera.
Awesome. Well, when you do that, I'm going to send you reminders and let you know so we can, you know, share that on our, not only verbally when we're, as we're going and doing our blog talk radios, we'll tie back into that as your feet are more immersed in that, and then we'll be happy to share that with our listeners. Anyone that's interested in, we'll be sure to have that information.
And I want to give a quick hi to we have a listener, Dave 12345. He's on. So hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for coming. He's on our web. Yeah, our web. So thanks, Dave, for showing up and listening with us today. I love that. Well, we're going to talk about a little bit more about the organic and the community farming a little ways into our call today, because we have a website that we want to share. And but we're just going to just shift a little bit. Let's moving into one of the things, favorite things, is the piece about peace. No pun intended. Bob, I know that you are a big peacemaker. I've known that all the years I've known you. So just let's talk about that just a little bit. And what are some activities that you're personally involved with that are activating more peace in your life?
I think the first thing is listening. Listening is a very important piece in having peace, so that people are heard.
Yeah.
That's just really a strong one for me, along with having that internal peace that you can get through, through meditation is one way. And some people think, well, you just don't have to sit silently. You could do that by walking in nature. Kind of a walking meditation is often another way. So it's a way of trying to get peaceful yourself, and being more centered yourself is kind of the first step towards peace.
Now, I know living by the lake, that gives you a lot of, activates a lot of peace within you, doesn't it?
yes, because I am here by the, it's a very natural environment here, which is just wonderful.
Awesome. And I think that you were sharing, one of the things that you were sharing with me the other day was the quote by Mother Teresa. Remember we were talking about that?
Yes. That relates to... one of the things that it should be interesting to see, I mean, maybe it would be good to interview me after I do this training. I may have some more insights. But, you know, sometimes activism can be not so peaceful, and I really want to get that clear. And one person who's actually made that clear is Mother Teresa. She was once asked why she didn't participate in anti-war demonstrations, and she said, "I'll never do that, but as soon as you have a pro-peace rally, I'll be there." So it's that idea that you can push against and focus on the stuff you don't want, and you'll get more of it. Like, you know, what are some examples?
Well, that
war on drugs, on teenage pregnancy, war on, and you end up getting more of it because that's the focus, and that's really goes back to that basic law of attraction principle. You attract more of what you focus on. So let's focus on peace, or rather than looking back at the past, it's also that area of having a vision for the future that you want in the world. So let's create a wonderful future and tell a wonderful story about our future.
Yeah, exactly, or our current reality. You know, like, what do we really want in our current reality that will kind of prepave, you know, moving forward, prepave those things and stay. You know, and part of, I think, the pro piece would be to let release things, you know, just as a intuitive healing practitioner. I think releasing things that no longer serve, releasing those things that we're fighting against, and it opens that space up to add things in, you know, in your thoughts or in your feelings to be able to create feelings and thoughts that would support pro-peace, that would support teens being more responsible, you know, in that area, those kind of things. So I really appreciate that, because I thought about that, you know, why she didn't attend that, and I knew that that was a connection to you, about connected to the peace part that we wanted to share today. Well, you know.
Yeah, another piece there is that I like, and I've actually printed this out and put it up on my bulletin board, is the Four Agreements.
There's a little
book written by
Don Miguel. I've read that.
That's the guy,
mm-hmm.
R-U-I-Z. I should put that link up on the site. But let me just read the Four Agreements, because I think they're useful also in thinking of peace, which can be, you know, one-on-one with other people that are in your life and all. It's, number one, be impeccable with your word.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, don't take anything personally. Don't make any assumptions, and always do your best. I mean, it's kind
mm-hmm.
of like, if you have those in front of you, that'll help a lot towards peace.
Yeah, being attached, staying attached as much as possible to what other people's thoughts and opinions. And that's, you know, one of the things that we get to practice and model with people. But that goes a long way with peace, is to be as unattached as possible and allow people to have, you know, to experience what they want to experience.
And to be themselves.
Yeah, to being yourself, being real with yourself is huge in modeling peace. And I like that part. Thanks for sharing that.
Val, we have another guest. It's guest 1480. Hi, thank you for listening.
Hello. 1480.
They love the a good one. Don't make assumptions. They love that one.
Oh yes. Yeah, because we know what the acronym for assume is. That goes a long way, Violet.
Let's just jump with the don't make assumptions. I'll give you a little more with that, the little paragraph that goes with that. Find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, or drama. With just this one agreement, you can completely transform your life. So there.
and you know what's so funny is I think there's another one that I learned when I was going to school was seek first to understand.
Yeah.
You know, seek first to understand. Whatever is going on, seek the understanding of it first.
That
with
can
openness.
Up a whole lot of misconceptions about what's going on with someone else or what's not going on with them. Just, I don't know, people are afraid to ask questions. And, you know, you ask and you'll find out.
Well, I know when I go in asking questions, I always am able. I'm always coming away with more insight than when I went in with a premeditative thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple, and sometimes we forget. But when I go in asking questions, I always find out because we don't mind read, and I think that when we hold people with our own preconceived thoughts, it's like we're playing God in a sense, because we do not know what truly that person has to say until it comes out of their mouth. We do not know.
That's right.
It's always an assumption. So that's something that I've learned, and I practice as much as I'm present to practicing it. I really try to go in learning or asking, because I always come away with more insight than I had prior, you know, to asking the question. You know, I met a wonderful couple, and they do a lot of peace activist things globally. One of the women, I'm just going to give out her name and her website. It's a powerful website for empowering women. Her name is Christine Krostaff, Krowstaff, and her partner, Andrew Sampson. They're huge activists, and she is a founder of an organization called Women for Change, for achange.org. So if you want to go check that out about empowering women, Angela's going to post that site, but it's Women for a Change, WomenForAChange.org. And it's about connecting, empowering, and supporting women all over the world, in just basic needs and supporting them for inner and outer peace. And then there's another gentleman, Craig Zelazar, or Zelzer, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. He is huge in conflict resolution, that I thought. So you could go to his site. That's internationalpeaceandconflict.org.
I'll have that too.
Yep. And conflict, that's I-N-T-E-R-N-A-T-I-O-N-A-L PEACEANDCONFLICT.org, and then another conflicttransformation.org, conflicttransformation.org. They will, Angela will share these in our chat group for these links, and you can just
right.
see
and
that,
also, Val, just as an aside, I've also put all of those links from our little pre-thing on the front page of mainbob.com. So
yes.
There are clickable links right okay. there, ready to go for everything, even some of the earlier stuff that we talked about. So I've tried to get links up there to help people connect with the stuff they're inspired to jump off to.
Thank you so much for sharing that, too, because sometimes in our chat room, I don't know if they can get the history, so... Thanks so much, Bob, for doing
that. He has it on his website. I'm letting him know.
Now we're going to kind of move into this community. You know, we talked about some offline piece thing, parts and websites to be able to do some peace and connection. But let's go a little bit about some online community about evolving processes. And Bob, you know, you and I and Angela all met through online, and Bob and I met in person. We had the ability to do that, and Angela and I, sooner than later in our life, because we've created the blog talk, we are going to meet in person.
You know, I like to ride, so I like to travel. I'll be there.
I love meeting people in person that I've met online. I've experienced that since 1996, and it is a really joyful thing to get to know somebody that has like-minded interests, and then you get to meet them in person. It's a powerful, multi-dimensional experience, and I love it. But I wanted Bob to share a little bit about the blending of both on and offline and what he sees. You know, Bob, what are some communities that you see are likely to be family models going forward or co-op housing? You know, what are you finding that's going to be helpful moving forward in the 21st century?
Well, I think that one of the huge things, of course, we're already here, is what we're doing on the Internet. And I think that that piece will only get better for being able to make those connections. And just an aside, I'm just curious, how many years did we know each other before we actually met in person? I think it was a couple of years at least,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was at least two.
So you know, this is just an example of you know, we've met online and we've kind of developed that similar interest and a similar project and all, and move forward. The site that I've gotten excited about here just recently is called Evolver.net, and one of the things about that is it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about, there are a lot of changes going on, and you know, there is something to be said for that, the year 2012. You know, I don't know all the stuff around that, but one of the things I like about this site is it says, well, it's already here. The change is already happening. So what are we going to do about it? And I like the discussions on that community that I've gotten so far because, you know, some people will have this idea that, well, you know, maybe I need to be more of a survivalist and gather all my food and guns and protect myself and kind of retract. But, you know, that's not the kind of life I want to live. And I think the other way to look at this is connecting more with your community and getting people to have gardens and all of that. And then you can still stay connected on a much more local basis, and you don't have to have that, what's out there a lot is the that whole fear factor that you get from the media, and we need to get away from that and connect with others and make the world a better place.
I agree. And you can
go
to that link, and Bob's posted this as well, evolver.net.
Yeah, and I posted
would
it
be
in the chat also.
The place to check it out. We're still brand new to that site. So we're going to check more about that. But I believe that it is about joining and connection and not going into a separate. We already have experience in our history what fear and separation can do to our societies. We already know that that doesn't always work. It probably doesn't work at all. But for the most part, we see what doesn't work with the fear and separation. So, you know, I just think about being open to co-joining and at least listening and hearing things out and then making a choice, you know, because, hey, it's all about you don't have to always keep things that you receive, but it being open to receiving, you know, you never know what's going to show up. So that's appreciative. Now, you know, something else, Bob, I wanted to share before we move on to one of our other subjects is this whole thing about Seth Godin. we put his, you know, he's a unique kind of person, but you had shared a little piece about tribes. Do you want to just, you know, share a little bit about that, about what you got out of his work regarding tribes?
Yes, and tribes is another name for community, and it also kind of has that element of kind of maybe what you were doing when you were kids, you know, the having your own little tribes and little groups in the neighborhood and all. But this is a way, and I would even say powerful intentions in what we created as a community online. That was a tribe. And part of it is you can connect in your local community to and lead with some of the ideas, maybe encourage people to do gardening for vegetables and that kind of thing. So in a sense, each of us can develop our own little tribe of interest. And of course, the Internet's also making that easier. Kind of an example that I've used, it's kind of a more family and personal one, is Facebook. So I have my tribe of people, and you can kind of go back and forth. And each person there kind of has their own group of friends that they've connected with. So that's another aspect of this tribal thing. And as I say, I use it a lot for family, and I do have a big family, so it's a really nice tool for connecting with everyone.
Yeah, because we'd love to have you back again, but we'll have to get the other half of your family, which you have 12, in addition to your 12 and your siblings, you have 12 step-siblings? Is that correct?
Yes, I do. Yes,
so
I do.
Your dad's been a very busy man. But
yes.
Anyway, Seth Godin's work about tribes can be found on his site, SethGodin.com.
And that's in the chat also.
Yes, thank you. So one of the things that we talked about, let's get back to this health, because it is connected to, you know, health. Without health, what do you have? I mean, that just really comes down to the bottom line. But, you know, we talked about this. Bob, you had a great word the other day. You talked about conscious food. And so I wanted you to elaborate on that. We'll talk about more about what that entails and how that connects to your health. But what do you mean by conscious food?
Actually, it's more that you're consciously eating and choosing the food that you eat. Because
okay.
I think a lot of it is, you know, what we get with the food, the commercially food, is really, you know, it's designed to produce inexpensive food and make big profits, but it may not be as healthful for you. And I think that's why if you consciously think about the food and where it comes from, that you'll end up being much healthier.
And one of the things that you loved is, can you share a little bit about community-supported agriculture? How is that meaningful for your life right now, and what's your part in that?
Well, I'm not directly part of what they call a CSA, community-supported agriculture. The idea behind that is you support your local farmer to be able to get vegetables throughout the season every week, and you pay kind of an upfront piece and support that way. The other way that you can do that, because part of, you know, what you and I had talked about as well, so for some people that's a lot of money to come up with upfront to pay the farmer for getting all your vegetables all the way in through the, sometimes even through the winter with some of them that have greenhouses so that they can have crops that are in season all the way through. That may be expensive, but the other option too is to just go to the farmers markets, which may be slightly more expensive on each of your visits than the community-supported agriculture, but it's just one of the many ways that you can do that. So, you know, farmers markets are becoming really quite, they're coming back. I think you're seeing them in more and more places, usually on Saturdays and in your local community. And I think, do we have a link there? Did you find a link?
Yeah, I did find a link. I did. And I wanted to share something with you. You were talking about even if you live in the city, something you had mentioned the other day when we were all getting together about this is with all the flat roofs in New York, for example, you could grow your own food.
Well, grow you your could own grow 80% of the food. 80% of the food that they use in the city could be grown on the roofs. And
exactly.
They were doing this with New York City. If every roof were flat roof were used, I think that's really wonderful. It just shows that there are many ways to solve this problem, and we just need to be creative and move forward with some ideas that might seem off the roof, but they'll work.
So, Angela, you had a website you were going to share about that website?
Yeah, the website, and I put it in the chat also, it's localharvest.org/CSA.
And they have on that site, they have in every state and community a list of the community-supported agricultures. You know, we have, you know, what you were talking about, you know, Bob, getting back to some of that expenses, I do eventually would love to support community farmers. Our farmer markets are growing in different counties here, and, you know, I'm connected to them by email, so you can go and scout those out and get emails to support them, you know, what they're doing. They're doing a lot of activities. They're having fun activities and different events to show up. I think that's beautiful to bring people together offline about your food and then giving information about healthy food. But we have a small garden that my husband Terry's planted about 3 or 4 vegetables. So they're growing nicely right now. And we had fresh tomatoes last year. And now he moved a couple of our bushes so that we can, you know, extend that out. So that was kind of cool that, you know, when we talked about growing our own food, that it's actually happening this year for us too. But, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, really eating live food or consciously thinking about what you're putting in your body, is that it does make you feel a lot better. I know when I eat live food and the enzymes that are in live food, I feel a whole lot more present, more clear. And my body feels, it just feels like I'm more energetic because I'm eating live food. And I've had times where I've eaten food that is more processed, and, you know, it makes a big difference on how you feel. I think some of the health issues right now going on in America are because of what we eat that may be cheaper to attain, but is it really cheaper when it comes to our health and well-being? You know, is it really cheaper on our preventative maintenance type, you know, regime?
That's kind of like a catch-22, because if you only got $20 when you go to the grocery store and you have a choice of buying that processed stuff or the other stuff where you can feed your family, you know.
Exactly.
I think people get caught up, and it's unfortunate, and there needs to, you know, be a different kind of thinking about that, but that's what happens.
I agree. I think the table ought to, I think the discussion ought to be put on the table to support all families on eating a more open variety, to give them more choices, not based on, you know, the income coming in and not just on the particular. And I think what you're talking about, Bob, is if we're not importing a lot of food and we're not using the fuel and we're not bringing it, you know, that we could create different options.
Yeah.
You know, I think I would love to serve for the highest good of all, no matter what it comes in. But, yeah, those cheaper staples can be to an extent, but it is a catch-22 because it does affect children's health and it does affect grown-ups' health. And,
right,
you know,
and if anyone listening really needs to get a dose of this, I've only seen the trailer for it, but there's a new movie out called Food, Inc., which is kind of how a processed food is made. And I guess from the trailer and from the reviews I've heard, it's enough to scare you to go eat only organic, locally grown food, you know.
Well, it starts because our lifestyles are not, they've changed. I mean, we're a more sedentary society. we've evolved to the point where we're not out there, you know, working physically manual labor as much. And it did change. It makes a big difference. So, you know, not to go one way or the other, it's just options to give. Let's start, you know, I just think as to be more responsible people, education, you know, education, it gives you more choices. And I'm not attached one way or the other. I just know preference-wise, you know, what's good for me. But I also love giving that education. And so, you know, kind of segueing into that health experience, you know, this is a big issue right now, healthcare. And I'm going to put it on the table, not to go so deeply down the rabbit hole, but, you know, health and preventative maintenance. You know, Bob, your father was a medical doctor, yes?
That's right,
so
he was.
Growing up, you know, having that experience with him, and then you also having experiences with, you know, alternative modalities, what is your perception? You know, what would you believe it would be the ideal combination, per se, you know, to help Americans, especially Americans since, you know, we do live in the state?
Well, I want to jump to my little activist piece here. The health care system that we have is really that sickness care system, and it's that system is really sick, and it's hugely expensive for people, especially self-employed people, for example, or farmers even, to be able to get adequate health insurance. As a matter of fact, there was just a story on about these Iowa farmers who basically, if they get sick, they're not going to get the treatments that they need. And these are the traditional medical treatments. And I do think there's value in those. But so to cut to the chase, in this whole debate that's going on in Congress that I have kind of gotten involved in writing and all, is that we need a single-payer healthcare system like they have in all the rest of the industrialized countries. You shouldn't have to go bankrupt just to get the treatments that you need. That's kind of that whole allopathic thing, you know, if you get hit by the bus or something like that, or get some dread disease. You want that system there to do it. And I think single payer is the one that will save the most money and make the country healthier. I do think, in addition to that, having these wellness programs and including some of the alternative providers is a really important piece. And we've talked about some of this with food. And the one I don't think we've mentioned yet is the little piece with exercise. We need to get exercise, too, and having incentives for doing that, I think, is a really great way to improve everyone's health.
Yeah, and I agree with that. You know what's so interesting in just even talking about this, about I would love to see both traditional alternative medicine complement each other, kind of co-join and create the best of both worlds to build up each other's strengths and not, you know, go after one or the other. But I think that both modalities, you know, are necessary. Like you said about catastrophes, you have people that may need emergency surgeries and stuff, and yet at the same time start co-joining. And then when you were talking about exercise, just this insight showed up. But it would be nice to have more family-friendly parks, more family-friendly activities, more families could be a single person, families could be a couple, families could be, you know, whatever, but more incentives for exercise out there to have more activities so that you can get out more and be connected with other people that are, you know, simple exercise, walking. Walking is a powerful way to exercise. It actually burns more calories than running, but that would just be one step in the right direction is to take the time and be, you know, take the time and be your own friend when it comes to, you know, eating healthier and exercising. We had a couple more topics, and we're kind of rounding out the time. Boy, 45 minutes goes by very fast. so we'll just kind of move a little bit forward past some of our little radical ones that we're going to talk about with Bob. But, you know, Bob, we were talking about enormous changes is reconfiguring our financial world today. And we want to give a couple links to go out that will help with offline financial. One of them is a score.org, score.org. They have free confidential small business mentoring on their site, and they have a ton of information about finances and well-being and economics there. And then meetup groups, meetup.com is another offline way to start looking for communities in relationship to economics, finances, real estate, all sorts of things. You know, check
There's
on your meetup.com.
On
yeah, it would be great. But, you know, Bob, we so thank you that you came on and you were sharing this, and we will you come back?
I will come back. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, Val. Thanks, Angela.
You're welcome, and thanks so much for sharing this stuff. And again, you can find out more about Bob at mainbob.com. And we can maybe just take one of these topics and just have a whole conversation about that particular thing and Bob's Earth Activist activities, be able to share more about his update, have an update about that. We'll be able to do that. And friends, we so appreciate you coming up and listening to us.
Yeah, we had several more people that came in. There were guests. I couldn't remember all the guest numbers that came on, but I did say thank you in the chat. Thank you guys so much for listening today.
Yes. We so appreciate that. We're going to be digging deeper on some of these subjects there's just so much room to talk about it. Next week we're going to be taking a break.
Yeah.
I'm going to be attending a spiritual workshop, but we're going to return on the 28th. We're going to chat about one of our favorite subjects, Angela and I, men, ways to experience productive, effective communication in our overall relationships with them, in our workplace as well as in our home. Until then, until June 28th, we just so appreciate you. Have an amazing day, amazing rest of the weekend. Much love and gratitude for you joining us today. Your time and energy is valuable, and we appreciate you taking that time to spend with us.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.